All right, get ready to dive deep, because today we're exploring the world of Yama, the Hindu lord of death. And you know what? I know this is a figure you find really interesting, and to be honest, so do I. He's got this whole judge, jury, and executioner thing going on, but then there's this element of cosmic order and righteousness tied to him, too.
It's
It's a bit of a puzzle, don't you think?
it really is fascinating how those two ideas are connected. You're right. You know, the way Yama embodies this duality really takes us to the heart of some of the most important concepts in Hinduism. It's like he's not just some grim reaper figure. There's so much more to him. He's deeply tied to Dharma, the idea of cosmic order and living a life that is just.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But how do we really understand these two sides of Yama? I mean, on the one hand, he's shown as this really intimidating figure, often with dark skin, piercing eyes, riding a buffalo and carrying a noose and mace. That's intense.
Yeah.
It doesn't exactly make you think of fair and balanced, does it?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he's upholding Dharma, this idea of righteousness. So how do those two things work together?
I think the key to understanding that is to remember that for Hindus, death isn't simply the end. It's part of this larger cycle of life, death, and then rebirth. It's a continuous process. So Yama isn't just deciding your final fate. He's part of this force that's making sure the actions you take in this life have consequences that carry over into the next.
Oh, I see. So it's not just about punishment in this life. It's about the impact our actions have on the cycle of rebirth. It's more like a cosmic balancing act than just straight up punishment.
Exactly. The idea is that your karma, which is basically the sum of all your actions, that determines what your next rebirth will be like. And Yama, he's the one who weighs that karma. He's making sure that the scales of justice are balanced, and this can even happen across multiple lifetimes.
Wow, that's a pretty intense concept when you really think about it. It makes you think carefully about every decision you make, doesn't it? I mean, the things I do today can influence what happens to me in my next life. That's a big deal. What are your thoughts on that?
It certainly adds a new dimension to how we make decisions, wouldn't you say? The Hindu texts are full of stories and descriptions that really create a clear picture of Yama's realm and the entire process of judgment.
Oh, I bet. The sources you gave me are full of really fascinating details. For instance, there's this one story where a man is brought before Yama after he dies, and of course he's totally freaking out, which makes sense. But then Yama actually reassures him. He explains that death is just a transition, it's not the end.
That's a perfect example of how Yama isn't just this menacing, terrifying figure. There's another side to him. He's also a teacher, and his role is to help souls understand this complex cycle of karma and rebirth. He's there to help them see how their past actions have led them to where they are now.
So it's not just about punishment. It's more about understanding the natural consequences of your actions,
Yeah.
right? It's almost like getting a spiritual report card, I guess.
That's a great way to put it. It's like Yama is grading your actions, but not in a way that's meant to be cruel or anything. It's really about keeping that cosmic balance and helping souls move forward on their spiritual journey.
You know, I'm starting to understand how this whole karma and rebirth thing works with Yama. But I have to admit, the idea of being judged after death still kind of freaks me out. Do you think that that fear is like intentional?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I think it's safe to say that, yeah, that fear of Yama and of death itself is definitely part of the whole picture. But I don't think it's meant to be purely negative. It's kind of like, think of it like a parent setting boundaries for their kid. You
Yeah.
know, the rules might seem strict at first, but they're really there to help the child in the long run.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. So it's like this fear of Yama is actually meant to kind of nudge people towards living good, righteous lives,
Yeah.
right?
Exactly. Think about it. If you know that your actions have consequences that last even after death, you're probably going to be more likely to make choices that are in line with Dharma. It's a pretty strong motivator for ethical behavior, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's switch gears a bit and talk about how Yama is actually visualized in art and culture. I'm really struck by how vivid the descriptions are, even in these really old texts. It's like they're trying to create a very specific image in your mind.
Yeah, totally. And all those visual elements are super important. They're full of symbolism. For instance, take that buffalo he's often depicted riding.
Oh, right. Yeah, the buffalo. That image definitely sticks with you.
Well, think about it. The buffalo, it's a powerful, imposing animal, you know? It represents strength, resilience, and even a bit of wildness, right? So by connecting Yama with the buffalo, it just reinforces his authority and like the whole idea that death is inevitable.
So it's like the buffalo is this metaphor for death itself, this huge, powerful force that can't be stopped.
You got it. And then there's the whole thing about his dark complexion. Have you noticed how that sets him apart from a lot of other Hindu deities? They're often shown with lighter skin tones.
Now that you mention it, I did notice that. Yeah, it's like he's visually connected to the darkness, that mystery of the underworld, all that's hidden beyond life.
Exactly. And even the tools he carries, the noose and the mace, they add another layer of meaning to the whole picture.
Oh yeah, tell me about those. What do they represent? I'm really curious about that.
Well, the noose, that's pretty straightforward. It represents that death is inescapable. No one can escape Yama's grasp. But the mace, that's a bit more complex.
Really? How so?
Well, think about what the mace represents. It's often associated with power, punishment, the whole idea of upholding order. So it really symbolizes both sides of Yama's role as both judge and enforcer.
Wow, I see. So he's not just passively watching what people do. He's actively making sure justice is served.
Precisely. He's the ultimate guardian of cosmic order, making sure everything stays balanced. It's a pretty big responsibility when you think about it.
No kidding. And when you see all these images put together, you can really imagine how people must have felt when they saw depictions of Yama. It must have been a mix of fear, awe, and maybe even some respect, too.
That's a great observation. And it's worth noting that the way Yama is depicted has actually changed over time. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, really? I'm curious to hear more about that.
Well, in some of the earliest depictions, he's shown as this fierce warrior, almost like a demon in his appearance. But as Hinduism evolved, his image kind of softened, you know? It became less about punishment and more about guidance, this idea of him helping souls on their journey through the afterlife.
That's so interesting. It's like those changes reflect how cultural attitudes towards death and the afterlife have shifted over time.
It really does. And you know what? Those shifts are still happening even today. As Hinduism continues to change and adapt to the modern world, we're seeing all kinds of new interpretations of Yama emerging.
Oh, wow. Really? Can you give us some examples of that? I'm curious about how people are reinterpreting this ancient figure in today's world.
Absolutely. For instance, in some modern depictions, you see him portrayed as a more compassionate figure, like a wise teacher who's there to help souls understand what reality is truly about. It becomes less about judgment and more about seeking enlightenment.
That's amazing. It's like we're moving away from that fear of being punished and towards a deeper, more nuanced understanding of death and the afterlife.
Exactly. And those new interpretations are helping to keep the story of Yama relevant for people today, even those who might not follow traditional Hindu beliefs.
It's kind of strange, right? How Yama, this figure we usually think of as scary and something to be afraid of, can also be seen as a source of hope, maybe even inspiration. That's a bit of a contradiction, don't you think?
It is an interesting contradiction. I think it really shows just how complex Yama is and how complex death itself is. You know, it's not just a simple idea. Yes, there's fear there, but also awe, even a sense of respect and maybe a sense of possibility, too.
I see what you mean. It's like Yama's pushing us to look past that fear and see death as just a part of a bigger cycle, like a process of change and renewal.
That's it, exactly. And honestly, I think that's a pretty empowering way to see it, especially in a world that often tries to pretend death doesn't exist or tries to avoid thinking about it.
Totally agree with you there. It's like by accepting death, by really facing it, we can actually live more fully right now in this moment.
You're right. And that's where that idea of Dharma we talked about earlier really comes into play. If we live our lives in line with Dharma, if we make choices that are ethical and fair, we can create a better world while we're here and also ensure that we have a smoother transition into what comes next.
So it's about understanding that what we do has an impact that goes way beyond just our own lives.
Exactly. And that's a pretty powerful reason to live with a sense of purpose and intention.
You know, as we've been talking about Yama, I keep finding myself thinking about all the different ways that cultures all over the world deal with death and what they believe about the afterlife. It's something that every human has to deal with, yet their rituals and beliefs are so incredibly diverse.
Isn't it fascinating? You have cultures that have these huge celebrations when someone dies, others that have these incredibly somber mourning rituals. You have beliefs in reincarnation and heaven and hell and spirits of ancestors. It's amazing.
It really is. It makes me wonder if there are any common threads running through all these different belief systems. Is there something that ties them all together?
I think there are some common threads, actually. When you get down to it, most belief systems that focus on death and what happens after are trying to answer the same basic questions that we all have. What happens to us after we die? Do we go on in some way? Is there a reason for us to be here? And how do we cope with that loss and grief that comes with death? Because it always does.
Those are some really huge questions. Do you think Yama's story gives us any answers?
In a way, I think it does. Yama, as the figure who represents Dharma, suggests that there is some sort of cosmic order, a kind of justice, that keeps working even after we die. And he reminds us that every action has a consequence, that the choices we make really do matter.
So it's not about just accepting whatever fate has in store for us.
Not at all. Yama's showing us that we have control, we have agency, we can shape our own future, both while we're alive and after we die.
I think that's a message that everyone can connect with, no matter what culture or religion they come from.
Definitely. And that's exactly why I think Yama's story is still so relevant today, even for people who don't think of themselves as religious. He speaks to something very deep inside us, our desire for meaning, our search for justice, and our hope that we can make a positive difference in the world.
You said it perfectly. As we're getting close to the end of this deep dive, I can't help but feel a sense of gratitude for Yama. It might seem weird to say that about the Lord of Death, but he's really given us a lot to think about.
I feel the same way. He's forced us to face some truths that aren't always easy to think about, but he's also given us a way to understand death and what comes after in a way that's really insightful and gives us a sense of power.
Yeah, and he's reminded us that even though we face death, there's still hope, there's still beauty, there's still a chance for change and renewal.
You put that so well. That feels like the perfect way to wrap things up.
I think so too.
Okay.
To everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Yama. We hope you've enjoyed it and that it's given you lots to think about, just like it has for us. As you go about your lives, remember what we've learned from this ancient figure. Live with purpose, make choices that are true to who you are, and embrace life's journey with courage and compassion. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep your minds open to all the amazing things this world has to offer.